Everyone, welcome back to the podcast. Today we have an exciting conversation where we get to see kind of under the hood again into what's going on at Fruit Street. So Lawrence, I'll pass it off to you and introduce us to one of your employees.
Yeah, so we have Wyatt here today, our data scientist. Wyatt, maybe you could just introduce yourself to the listeners and share a little bit about your background and why you decided to work at Fruit Street.
Sure. Yeah, I'm Wyatt Tyree. I am a data scientist here at Fruit Street. My journey really started in college studying physics and computer science and trying to figure out a way to combine programming with something a little bit more mathematical, and stumbling into an artificial intelligence laboratory and basically doing research on systems that can plan in uncertain environments and things like that, and realizing that this kind of work could be applied to business problems in industry, which I found a little bit more exciting. And so sort of find my way through business analytics and data science and data engineering and previous companies building out entire systems for going from raw and structured data all the way through to data products and machine learning products and that sort of thing. And then seeing the opportunity at Fruit Street, I had to be a part of something getting started in an industry that is absolutely the most important thing sort of in my personal life, which is health and wellness using lifestyle intervention. And so I'm hoping to do some of the same things I've done in previous companies here and to build out our entire data strategy.
Great. And maybe you could share with everyone a little bit about, you know, what you've been doing at Fruit Street since you started. How long has it been now? Is it 6 months yet? Or
yeah, I think it has been about 6 months now. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So basically what you've been doing and then how you think, your role at the company could help us improve the outcomes of the diabetes prevention program and what types of things you're interested in looking at.
Yeah. So since I'm data employee number one, really, it's been a lot of laying the groundwork for moving really fast in the future. So we can use data to improve the product, improve the program, to build data products like machine learning models that can intervene in the program and help with producing better outcomes, help with better retention, and try and help the customer experience as much as possible. But really laying the groundwork for that is something that is the biggest part of that job. And so what I've been doing is pulling in all of our disparate data, trying to clean it up as much as possible and get it ready for more robust analytics and data visualization, spreading data throughout the company, getting things to people faster and without my intervention, as well as building out some predictive models to try and get ahead of the curve. And so the ways in which that can help the company are firstly getting visibility into how the company is actually doing in all of the different areas that we care about. So, you know, that can be a business perspective, but it can also be on participant outcomes or how different features of the program and product influence those outcomes. And so getting visibility and sharing that throughout the company is sort of a big step one. And then step two is nurturing the questions and experiments that automatically kind of get generated from that kind of thing that the rest of the company comes up with to try and improve the program themselves and be able to integrate those experiments and tests and see directly if we're having an impact on the business and on the program. And then eventually, like I said, when we have clean enough data and enough structures in place, we can implement modeling to try and intervene automatically without even having to come up with those interventions ourselves.
And can you give them an example? I mean, would a good example be that, you know, you have a profile of someone that meets a certain set of criteria. So maybe they're, you know, a certain gender and a certain age. And we know that if, you know, people of that age and gender maybe, miss their fourth class with the dietitian, that doing a particular action, like sending them a message or having a chat bot reach out to them would be helpful. Is it that kind of thing?
Yeah. So that's sort of, you know, the second stage. So first stage is how do we even determine if someone is engaged? What does that mean? And then the second stage is we want to be able to, based on some profile and some intervention method that somebody comes up with, a lot of the time people will just make a guess on like, I think this will work, but you don't actually know how that's impacting the program or the business. And so having a data-backed approach allows you to actually see if what you did had any lift, and if it did, how much lift. And that allows you to iterate a lot faster when you know what moves are having the most impact and what moves have the potential to have the most impact.
Right. And it kind of gets back to product experimentation, right? So for example, right now in the Fruit Street app, people are taking pictures of their food. A hypothesis might be that if we gave people the option to sometimes also track calories like they would in an app like MyFitnessPal, would that actually, you know, improve their outcomes or not? And it's almost like running a clinical trial within the product and tracking those outcomes. And so I guess it's a way of, you know, we're setting up our data analytics program basically to measure the impact that product changes have on the outcomes, right?
Exactly. And so the better you structure that data process, the more experiments that you can run and the more you can be sure of their impact. And so, you know, I call those pilots a lot of the time when you're trying to make a change to the program. And it's important to say, okay, well, what am I trying to impact before you run the experiment? And then you run the experiment and can do a causal impact analysis to determine, did that actually have the impact I expected it to? And, you know, the great thing about data is there's no guessing, right? It's either was impactful in the way you expected, or it wasn't impactful in the way you expected, which is also a lesson learned, but it's, you know, it's true, it's data backed. So you can adjust as needed after that.
And here's the $1 billion data question that I don't know if any of us can really even answer, but when you look at data and you see that something is, you know, correlated, I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's what's causing something. So, I mean, what do you think is the right approach to those kind of situations?
Yeah, that's sort of a whole area of data science that people look at, but are also kind of steering away from as much as possible because it's hard to do. And so, right, you know, there's sort of analyses that you can do that will try to directly measure causal impact rather than just correlation. Those are a little bit more challenging. Oftentimes what you see is you try and come up with as much confounding variables as you can, and you test all of those against the variable that you're trying to affect. And so if I'm changing A, and B and C might also have correlating factors with the target, then I'm going to account for B and C in my analysis to see if in fact it was a combination of factors and not just what I was doing. And so there's, this is definitely a hard problem in data science, but the cool thing too is when you say, I think this thing provided some lift, it comes with a probability. And then if it's 95% probability, you intervene with the program based off of that lesson learned and you monitor it. If that starts to deviate from your expectation, you can see that and you can roll back and perform another experiment. And so that's kind of an easy way to sort of cheat the system a little bit and make sure that you're always kind of in sync and not assuming that anything you learn is necessarily a fact.
Right. And I think the exciting thing with a digital health product is that you're not running a clinical trial. So you could potentially make, I mean, you could do dozens of experiments per month as you're having thousands of patients go through the program. And that would just kind of help us to run more experiments. I mean, there's this whole, I guess, culture in certain companies where they have a culture of experimentation, you know, and you're just trying to run it. I mean, basically a business objective in and of itself is to just run as many experiments as possible. Don't worry about the result, but like an actual KPI is let's run experiments so that something interesting is discovered, right?
Yeah, totally. And we actually see this being problematic, especially in the world of like nutrition, where if I publish something in nutrition, some published study, it doesn't actually mean it's true. It means it's 95% likely or X percent likely that it's true. Well, if you have 100 articles, five of them aren't actually the correct, you know, response, right? And so what's cool about it in a company is you can run those experiments so much faster. And so what you can do is, like this culture of experimentation you're talking about, is you can design a system in which you can run 100 experiments in a month and then rerun experiments that you weren't as sure about the next month. And you can keep iterating so much that you're definitely going to be trending in the right direction.
Right. Yeah. And so ultimately, 10 years down the line, Fruit Street will have run, you know, tens of thousands of experiments, maybe hundreds of thousands. And we'll have, you know, an even better set of outcomes for the diabetes prevention program and other products that we're developing. Well, no, this is exciting. I mean, I'm not sure if anyone has any closing remarks. I feel like we got a nice preview or into what they, you know, why it's been doing around data science at Fruit Street. But I think we can wrap up for today, and we'll have you back on a future episode.
Yeah, sounds good. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Digital Health Entrepreneurship with Lauren Strohard. If you haven't already, take a look at some of our other episodes and leave a review on your favorite podcasting platform.